You glad he's God and he has not changed. His name is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forevermore here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. And we want to say welcome one to welcome to all who have joined us tonight here on another Friday evening for the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show. First, welcoming our surrounding city and states and our countries near as far, as well as those who call 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. You'll be able to press the number one, join the conversation, be able to ask your questions, give your comments, and at the end of the program, even be able to answer our question of the day. Amen. However, right now, we want to open with a word of prayer, get this show started off on the right foot. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, with the 56 countries and all the listeners that we have. We know that your word says, where two or three are gathered, you're in the midst. And Lord Jesus, we ask you now to take the wheel of this here program and have your way and your will, Lord Jesus. We first ask, Lord Jesus, that you would first touch that soul who is nearest hell. Help them to reel up the white flag, surrender, saying, I yield, knowing that your word says, Lord Jesus, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, for with a heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So, Lord Let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy. And then, Lord Jesus, for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing and do pray, Lord Jesus, so they could keep on keeping on for you, whether it be mental, spiritual, physical, or financial. And then, Lord Jesus, for your children, we ask the same blessings so they can keep on keeping on for you, whether it be mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for those out there dealing with the COVID-19, Lord Jesus, first of all, those who've lost somebody due to COVID-19, Lord Jesus, for the family and friends, we ask a special blessing, Lord Jesus, you could comfort them as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for those who are actually dealing with COVID-19 right now, Lord Jesus, that you'd be able to heal them as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, with situations like the George Floyd incident, Lord Jesus, and many other kinds of situations, just like, Lord Jesus, you got mail. We need to learn to love one another as we love ourselves and love our neighbor as ourselves, Lord Jesus. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen. All right, so now what we're going to do is we got a few preliminary announcements we're going to take care of, and then we'll just see who's all with us that might want to say hi just before the broadcast tonight. So let's take care of these few preliminary announcements as we get ready to get into the broadcast tonight. Amen.
This is Lynn Townsend. You're listening to the Six Eyes Radio Network.
If you'd like to get in contact with us here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, there are three email addresses you may use to get in contact. First of all, if you wish to get in contact with me, Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang, about any kind of Bible questions that you may have or regarding the programming here or complaints about programming, you may contact me at feelandtouchking@gmail.com. That's feel like you do with your fingertips, F-E-E-L, letter N as Nancy, touch like you do with your fingertips, T-O-U-C-H, king like the guy who sits on a throne, wears a crown, K-I-N-G, at gmail.com. In your subject line, you just put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get in contact with me about. Secondly, if you wish to get in contact with Ruth about her Bible prophecy, you would contact her by kjz1611ruth@gmail.com. That's K as King, J as Jackson, V as Victory, 1611, R as Randy, U as Umbrella, T as Tom, H as Henry, @gmail.com. Again, kjz1611ruth@gmail.com. In your subject line, put Bible prophecy. Thirdly, last but not least, if you wish to get a hold of Brother Six Eyes about any of his Six Eyes Music Studio Productions work, where you can get recordings made, whether album, commercial, etc., or if you wish to get donation information for the station here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, you contact him at sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, @gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, @gmail.com. In your subject line for him, you put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get a hold of him about. And in all three cases, in your body of your message, refer it to your subject line, and we will not only read your message, but we will get back in contact with you. Amen.
Hello?
Yeah, hey, Ruth. I don't know what's going on with me, but I'm so down. All I want to do is sleep and have no appetite. I feel like it's just better to sleep right now.
Sweetheart, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, Ruth, I wish you really knew. what you could say or do, but I'm just disappointed. All I want to do is sleep, and it seems like anybody I talk to doesn't understand it.
I wish I did know what to do, sweetheart.
Well, sometimes friends don't know what to do. It's better to get the professionals to give you the help when you need it. And call the National Mental Health Line at 1-800-273-8255. Again, that number is 1-800-273-8255. And this message has been brought to you by Six Eyes Radio Network. Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one. Join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show. Get your praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern. 10 a.m. Pacific on Monday. Get motivated with Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Tuesday, Evangelist Timothy Gruber takes the mics on the Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang, with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. On Thursday, it's the Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that can be felt, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Friday, it's College on the Air. It's the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show. It's where you get Bible College on the Air with no homework, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. And last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays. Is U-Haul open?
No.
We got to get this stuff moved. I heard about a great hauling service called Blind Truck in the Vastabula.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. They must have been around for a while. I hear they haul light furniture, groceries. I even heard they hauled pets at one time.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, so I'm going to give them a call. The number is 440-789-9411. And they do have a PayPal. I hear they don't charge a thing, but they do accept donations. So we got to help keep them on the road. Their PayPal is the number 2-F-O-R, the number 1, Katie, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com.
Okay.
Yes. So we got to get this stuff moved. So come on now. That's Blind Trucking. All right. Let's do it. That's Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Blind Trucking of Ashtabula Hauling Service. 440-789-9411. All right. Come on now. Would you like to keep shows like this one on the air? Let me tell you how you can go about doing that. There are two methods. One, for those who use the PayPal platform, go to paypal.com. That's P-A-Y-P-A-L.com. Box where it asks for the email address, you enter 6i6 at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, the digit number 6, at gmail.com. For you Cash App users, you go to Cash App, you enter $SIXEYES, the digit 2, the digit number 4. Again, that's $SIXEYES, the digit 2, the digit 4. And in both cases, no matter how much your love gift, you enter that in. And we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. And God will greatly, richly, and most honorably bless you. Amen. Hey, baby. I will be there shortly. Hope you are good. Was it worth it?
Now he'll never make dinner, never again. And several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Sides Radio.
This commercial was also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen.
All right. And Sister Emily, who do we got with us this afternoon?
Well, naturally, we have the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and the angels, all the Smurfs and the Smurf Chaser tonight.
And you.
And you.
All right.
I think you know who I'm joking calling the Smurf Chaser.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
It might get me in trouble when I get home, though.
Hey, you know, we had that commercial about blind trucking. I wonder if the pets that they had hauled the one time, was it the dog who gave the ultimate cat wash, or was it the poor kitty who went through the ultimate cat wash?
Oh, God.
Kenny, you keep that up. You're going to get in trouble after the show, buddy.
And, funny story, though.
And I'm just going to say one thing tonight, being with the ultimate Smurf Chaser on the program tonight.
Oh,
Dad, I love you, so I don't want to whoop him when I get home.
Oh, God.
Knowing him. Well, he's Grouchy Smurf, right?
No, he's Gargamel.
Oh, okay. All right. So,
oh,
I'm going to get it when I get home. I know it.
All right. Well,
I think I better behave so I don't get in trouble when I get back home.
All right. Well, let me give you a quick outline of where we're going tonight.
Okay.
All right. Well, first off, we're going to be starting in with our series, as we've been doing, David, and we've been studying the life of David, and tonight we'll be in part 5. And in the middle of that, we just finished last week, Brother 6, and he ended his whole set with the song and poem at 20 for 26. Now it's Pastor Bonnet's turn. We're going to see if he could break that record. So tonight is his first run at it. Does he get the good buzzer or bad buzzer to start himself off? And, of course, if he gets the bad buzzer, there may be sound effects used that may affect those who have PTSD, et cetera. So just beware of that. And then after we conclude our study on David, then, of course, Ruthie has her Bible prophecy. Where are you taking us tonight, Ruth? You got to unmute yourself, Ruth.
Yeah. It's the miracle of the ages, hon.
Okay, the miracle of the ages. All right. Sounds like an interesting topic for everybody to figure out what that's all about. So we'll be seeing what she means by the miracle of the ages. What is the miracle of the ages? And all that kind of information. Then after that, we close out with, of course, as always, our question of the day, neither having a right nor wrong answer, based solely upon you, our listeners, your opinion. As you dial in, 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, press the number 1, you'll join the conversation, and you can give your opinion on the question of the day. And then after that, we close in prayer. We might twist Emily's arm tonight, see if she'll give us a closing prayer. We'll see. And then, of course, we close out with the whole show with our Red Sylvine song and selection, as always. Amen.
Now, don't go twisting my arm too hard there, Kenny. It's already hurting.
Well, if we twist that left arm just right, we might get the circulation in it working right, and it'll start working just right.
No, because today has been doing a doozy of not having no feeling, so.
Well, we might get the feeling working in it just right if we twist it enough.
Be nice.
So.
You keep that up, and I'll just sit the head boss man of the station on you.
Ooh, is that a threat or a promise?
Sure.
That's a threat, and if Ruthie makes a mess during the show tonight on this bus, I'm going to see the six-eyes police on her, too.
All right. So, all right. Is everybody for a good lesson tonight?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Then why don't we get started tonight, and we'll get going. Just grab your pad, pencil, paper, Braille writer, in the case of Ruthie, Slayton stylus.
What about me?
You? We'll be nice. We'll let you grab your note taker, your quick note on your phone, since that's what you're used to.
She could record it on a cassette.
Our vocal note, yeah, like for me, or six, we use vocal note. So.
Yeah.
So whatever it takes, or you can always remember at the end of the broadcast, you can always, always download the Six Eyes broadcast on your phone by going to your podcast and then typing in the search box under podcast. You type in Six Eyes Radio, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, space radio, R-A-D-I-O. Then you click subscribe once you've got it, and then you'll be able to get all the notes right there at your leisure over and over as many times as you need till you got it. So, or just grab your favorite method of writing down. And here we go with our study for tonight, David Part 5. And here we go. For those of you who call 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, you'll be able to press the number one, join the conversation, especially at the end of our broadcast, ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. Which of David's friends do you like most? Which of David's friends do you like most? But right now, we're going to get into our study of David, and this is part five, and our main scripture context is found in 1 Samuel chapter 20, verses 1 through 42. 1 Samuel chapter 20, verses 1 through 42. All right, Ruthie, get a good swig of coffee. Take us there.
And David fled from Naoth in Ramah and came and said before Jonathan, "What have I done? What is mine iniquity? And what is my sin before thy father that he seeketh my life?" And he said unto him, "God forbid. Thou shalt not die. Behold, my father will do nothing, either great or small, but that he will shew it me. And why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so." And David sware moreover and said, "Thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes. And he saith, let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death." Then said Jonathan unto David, "Whatsoever thy soul desireth, I will even do it for thee." And David said unto Jonathan, "Behold, tomorrow is the new moon, and I should not fail to sit with the king at meat. But let me go, that I may hide myself in the field unto the third day at even. If thy father at all miss me, then say, David earnestly asked leave of me that he might run to Bethlehem, his city, for there is a yearly sacrifice there for all the family. If he say thus, it is well, thy servant shall have peace. But if he be very wroth, then he's sure that evil is determined by him. Therefore thou shalt deal kindly with thy servant, for thou hast brought thy servant unto a covenant of the Lord with thee. Notwithstanding, if there be in me iniquity, slay me thyself. For why shouldest thou bring me to thy father?" And Jonathan said, "Far be it from thee, for I knew certainly that evil were determined by my father to come upon thee. Then would not I tell it thee?" Then said David to Jonathan, "Who shall tell me? Or what if thy father answer thee roughly?" And Jonathan said unto David, "Come, and let us go out into the field." And they went out, both of them, into the field. Jonathan said unto David, "O Lord God of Israel, when I have sounded my father about tomorrow any time, or the third day about tomorrow any time as the third day, and behold, there be good toward David, and then I send not unto thee and shew it thee. the Lord do so and much more to Jonathan. But it pleased my father to do thee evil, that I will shew it thee, and send thee away, that thou mayest go in peace, and the Lord be with thee, as he hath been with my father. And thou shalt not only while yet I live shew me the kindness of the Lord, that I die not, but also thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from my house forever. No, not even when the Lord hath cut off the enemies of David, every one from the face of the earth. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, let the Lord even requite it at the hand of David's enemies. And Jonathan caused David to swear again, because he loved him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. Then Jonathan said to David, tomorrow is the new moon, and thou shalt be missed, because thy seat will be empty. And when thou hast stayed 3 days, then thou shalt go down quickly and come to the place where thou didst hide thyself when the business was at hand, and shalt remain by the stone Ezel. And I will shoot 3 arrows on the side thereof as though I shot at a mark. And behold, I will send a lad, saying, go and find out the arrows. If I expressly say unto the lad, behold, the arrows are on this side of thee, take them, then come thou, for there is peace to thee, and no hurt, as the Lord liveth. But if I say thus unto the young man, behold, these arrows are beyond thee, go thy way, for the Lord hath sent thee away. And as touching the matter which thou and I have spoken of, behold, the Lord be between thee and me forever. So David hid himself in the field, and when the new moon was come, the king sat down him down to eat meat. And the king sat upon his seat, as at other times, even upon a seat by the wall. And Jonathan arose, and Abner sat by Saul's side, and David's place was empty. Nevertheless, Saul spake not anything that day, for he thought, something hath befallen him. He is not clean. Surely he is not clean. It came to pass on the morrow, which was the second day of the month, and David's place was empty, and Saul said unto Jonathan his son, wherefore cometh not the son of Jesse to me, neither yesterday nor today? Jonathan answered Saul, David earnestly asked leave of me to go to Bethlehem. And he said, let me go, I pray thee, for our family hath a sacrifice in the city, and my brother, he hath commanded me to be there. And now, if I found favor in thine eyes, let me get away, I pray thee, and see thy brethren. Therefore he cometh not unto the king's table. And Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan, and said unto him, thou son of the perverse, rebellious woman, do not I know that thou hast chosen the son of Jesse to thine own confusion and unto the confusion of thy mother's nakedness? For as long as the son of Jesse liveth upon the ground, thou shalt not be established, nor thy kingdom. Wherefore now send and fetch him unto me, for he shall surely die. And Jonathan answered Saul his father and said unto him, wherefore shall he be slain? What hath he done? And Saul cast a javelin at him to smite him, whereby Jonathan knew that it was determined of his father to slay David. So Jonathan arose from the table in fierce anger, and did eat no meat the second day of the month, for he was grieved for David, because his father had done him shame. It came to pass in the morning that Jonathan went out into the field at the time appointed with David, and a little lad with him. And he said unto his lad, run, find out now the arrows which I shoot. And as the lad ran, he shot an arrow beyond him. Now when the lad was come to the place of the arrow which Jonathan had shot, now the arrow which Jonathan had shot, Jonathan cried after the lad and said, is not the arrow beyond thee? And Jonathan cried after the lad, make speed, haste, stay not. And Jonathan's lad gathered up the arrows and came to his master. But the lad knew not anything. Only Jonathan and David knew the matter. Jonathan gave his artillery unto his lad and said unto him, go, carry them to the city. As soon as the lad had gone, David arose out of a place toward the south and fell on his face to the ground and bowed bowed himself three times. And they kissed one another and wept one with another until David exceeded. And Jonathan said to David, go in peace, for as much as we have sworn both of us in the name of the Lord, saying, the Lord be betwixt me and thee, and between my seed and thy seed forever. And he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city.
Okay, we got a lot of meat to cover here tonight. The plot of Saul yet to kill David. Jonathan's coding to David and his covenant with David and much more. All right, so let us get into this and see how everything breaks down with our first scripture context, which is found in 1 Samuel chapter 20, verses 1 to 3, 1 Samuel chapter 20, verses 1 through 3. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
And David fled from Naoth in Ramah and came and said before Jonathan, what have I done? What is mine iniquity? And what is my sin before thy father that he seeketh my life? He said unto him, God forbid. Thou shalt not die. Behold, my father will do nothing either great or small, but that he will shew it me. And why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so. And David sware moreover and said, thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes, and he saith, let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death.
Here we find David's curiosity about why he's being hounded by Saul. And he talks to Jonathan, who is Saul's son. And he's saying, basically, why am I being hounded to death? What have I done? And Jonathan says, well, basically, my dad ain't going to keep nothing from me. But David says, oh, yeah, he will, because he knows that you and I have a special relationship, and he's going to hide it from you, Jonathan. And Jonathan says, well, hey, I'll find out what's going on. Amen. All right, our next scripture context is found in 1 Samuel chapter 20, verses 4 to 9. 1 Samuel chapter 20, verses 4 through 9. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
Then said Jonathan unto David, whatsoever thy soul desireth, I will even do it for thee. And David said unto Jonathan, behold, tomorrow is the new moon, and I should not fail to sit with the king at meat. But let me go, that I may hide myself in the field unto the third day at even. Thy father at all miss me? Then say, David earnestly asked leave of me, that he might run to Bethlehem his city, for there is a yearly sacrifice there for all the family. He says thus, it is well, thy servant shall have peace, but if he be very wroth, then be sure that evil is determined by him. Therefore thou shalt do kindly with thy servant, for thou hast brought thy servant into a covenant of the Lord with thee. Notwithstanding, if there be in me iniquity, slay me thyself, for why shouldest thou bring me to thy father? And Jonathan said, far be it from thee, for I knew certainly that evil was determined by my father to come upon thee. Then would not I tell it thee?
Now we find Jonathan and David speaking together, and David coming up with a plan. He says, Jonathan, I'll give you a chance to find out whether your father's after me or not, and here's how we'll do it. I'm going to go hide in the field for 3 days. And you tell your father that I went to Bethlehem, to my city, to do a sacrifice with my family. If he misses me, and he just says, oh, okay, well, so be it, then he doesn't have anything after me. And then we'll just drop it, and then I must have been mistaken. But if he gets angry, you'll know that, in fact, Saul has something after my life. Jonathan says, okay, I'll tell you. Amen. And our next scripture context is found in 1 Samuel chapter 20, verses 10 to 17. 1 Samuel chapter 20, verses 10 to 17. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
I said, David to Jonathan, who shall tell me, or what if thy father answer thee roughly? And Jonathan said unto David, come and let us go out into the field. And they went, both of them, into the field. And Jonathan said unto David, O Lord God of Israel, when I have sounded my father about tomorrow, any time, or the third day, and behold, if there be good toward David, I then send not unto thee and shew it thee. The Lord do so, and much more, to Jonathan. But if it please my father to do thee evil, then I will shew it thee, and send thee away, that thou mayest go in peace, and the Lord be with thee, as he hath been with my father. And thou shalt not only while yet I live shew me the kindness of the Lord, that I die not, but also thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from my house forever. No, not when the Lord hath cut off the enemies of David, every one from the face of the earth. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, I let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemies. And Jonathan caused David to swear again, because he loved him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul.
And here is where we find Jonathan swearing to David. Now, did Jonathan say, you beep, 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 beep? No. Jonathan giving an oath or promise. That's what it means to swear. But we, in this modern age, have taken and redefined the word swear to mean bad language. So we find that Jonathan gave an oath to David saying, I will tell you if I find out anything of what my father's up to. And David gave his oath, and Jonathan gave his oath, making a covenant, not a contract, but a covenant, which is based upon trust between the parties. It's not written down, but it's an oath between the two. Amen. Our next scripture context is found in 1 Samuel chapter 20, verses 18 to 23. 1 Samuel chapter 20, verses 18 to 23. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
And Jonathan said to David, tomorrow is the new moon, and thou shalt be missed, because thy seat will be empty. And when thou hast stayed 3 days, then thou shalt go down quickly and come to the place where thou didst hide thyself when the business was at hand, and shalt remain by the stone Ezel. And I will shoot 3 arrows on the side thereof, as though I shot at a mark. And behold, I will send a lad, saying, go find out the arrows. If I expressly say unto the lad, behold, the arrows are on this side of thee, take them. Then come thou, for there is peace to thee, and no hurt, as the Lord liveth. But if I say thus unto the young man, behold, the arrows are beyond thee, go thy way, for the Lord hath sent thee away. And as touching the matter which thou and I have spoken of, behold, the Lord be betwixt thee and me forever.
And now we find the code or sign that Jonathan gives David. He says, I want you to hide behind this rock over here. And I'm going to, on the third day, have me and a young lad come out. And I'm going to pretend like I'm shooting at a mark with my arrows, like I'm shooting at a target. Now, if I have the young lad and say, the arrows are on your side, then that will be the code word. There's nothing wrong. My father has no animosity toward you. He's not wanting to kill you, and it's okay to come back. But if I shoot the arrows in such a way and tell the young lad the arrows are beyond you, that is code for, yeah, he's got it out for you. You better go hide and leave and go in peace because I want to protect you. That was Jonathan's code. So we find Jonathan giving a code so that he would be able to help David. Amen. All right. Now as we get ready to go into our song and poem, after this last scripture context, which we're going to take and highlight over the first half and see what we've learned in the first half. But we're going to remind people that 6 had 20 for 26. This is the first day for Pastor Bonnet taking on the song and poem. Will he get the good buzzer or the bad buzzer to start off his run of the 26th set? Will he get the good buzzer or bad buzzer? And will he end up making, in the end, a better run than 6 or not? We'll find out. But 6 was 20 for 26. But right now, we're going to get into our context that will allow us to re-go through and re-look at the verses that we've just studied in this first half. 1 Samuel chapter 20, verses 1 through 23. 1 Samuel chapter 20, verses 1 through 23. All right, Ruthie, get a good swig of coffee. Take us there.
And David fled from Naoth in Ramah and came and said unto before Jonathan, what have I done? What is my iniquity? Or what is my sin before thy father that he seeketh my life? And he said unto him, God forbid, thou shalt not die. Behold, my father will do nothing either great or small, but that he will shew it me. And why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so. And David sware moreover and said, thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes. And he saith, let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly, as the Lord liveth, and as the soul liveth, there is but a deep step between me and death. Then said Jonathan unto David, whatsoever thy soul desireth, I will even do it for thee. And David said unto Jonathan, behold, tomorrow is the new moon, and I should not fail to sit with the king at meat. But let me go, that I may hide myself in the field unto me the third day at even. If thy father at all miss me, then say, David earnestly asked leave of me, and that he might run to Bethlehem, his city. For there is a yearly sacrifice there for all the family. If he says thus, it is well, thy servant shall have peace. But if he be very wroth, then he is sure that evil is determined by him. Therefore thou shalt deal kindly with thy servant, for thou hast brought thy servant withstanding. If there be in me iniquity, slay me by thyself, for thy shoulders thou bring me to my father. And Jonathan said, far be it from thee, for if I knew certainly that evil were determined by my father to come upon thee, then would not I tell it thee? Then said David to Jonathan, who shall tell thee? Or what if thy father answer thee roughly? And Jonathan said unto David, come, and let us go out into the field. And they went out, both of them, into the field. And Jonathan said unto David, O Lord God of Israel, when I have sounded my father about tomorrow anytime, or the third day, and behold, if there be good toward David, and thy then send not unto thee, and shew it thee, Lord, do so, and much more to Jonathan. But if it please my father to do thee evil, then I will shew it thee, and send thee away, that thou mayest go in peace, and the Lord is with me, or thee, as he hath been with my father. And thou shalt not only, while yet I live, shew me the kindness of the Lord, that I die not. but also thou shalt not cut off thy kindred from my house forever. No, not when the Lord hath cut off the garments of David, everyone from the face of the earth. So Jonathan made a covenant with the Lord of God, saying, let the Lord even require it in the hand of David's memories. And Jonathan caused David to swear again, because he loved him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. Then Jonathan said to David, tomorrow is the new moon, and thou shalt be missed, because thy seat will be empty. And when thou hast stayed 3 days, then thou shalt go down quickly and come to the place where thou didst hide thyself when the business was at hand, and shall remain by the stone Ezel. And I will shoot the arrows on the side thereof as though I shot at a mark. And behold, I will send a lad, saying, go find out the arrows. If I expressly say unto the lad, behold, the arrows are on this side of thee, take them, then come out, for there is peace to thee and no hurt, as the Lord liveth. But I say then unto the young man, behold, the arrows are beyond thee. Go thy way, for the Lord hath sent thee away. And as touching the matter which thou and I have spoken of, behold, the Lord be between thee and me forever.
All right, for our recap here, basically, we find that David was curious why Saul was after him, and he tells Jonathan in simple terms, well, he's not going to tell you, Jonathan. Saul ain't going to tell you because he knows that you care for him as a friend and because we're so close. And Jonathan says, well, hey, I'll get it out of him somehow. And then David comes up with this plan of leaving and hiding for 3 days and claiming that he went to Bethlehem, his city, for a sacrifice. And then says, look, if I'm missed, and Saul says, okay, it's fine, then it's okay, and he doesn't have nothing against me. But if he gets mad, then Jonathan, you'll know. And Jonathan ends up making a covenant with David, and then he gives him, saying on the third day, that he would come out in the field where David was hidden, and give him a sign using his arrows and his bow and a young lad giving some code words that only David would understand, knowing whether Saul had something against him or not. Amen. But now it's time to turn the mic over to Pastor Bonnet here and see if he could give us the common message between this song and this poem. Amen.
Her parents never took the young girl to church, never spoke of his name, never read her his word. Two non-believers walking lost in this world, took their baby with them. What a sad little girl. Her daddy drank all day and mommy did drugs, never wanted to play or give kisses and hugs. She'd watch the TV and sit there on the couch while her mom fell asleep and her daddy went out. And the drinking and the fighting just got worse every night. Until her daddy night, used a gun on her mom, and then took his life. And some people from the city took the girl far away to a new mom and a new dad, kissing hugs every day. Sunday school, the teacher walked in, and a small little girl stared at a picture of him. She said, I know that man up there on that cross. I don't know his name, but I know he got off. He was there in my old house, and held me close to his side. As I hid there behind our couch, the night that my parents died.
My name is Sarah. I am but three. My iris is swollen. I cannot see. I must be stupid. I must be bad. What else could have made my daddy so mad? I wish I were better. I wish I weren't ugly. Then maybe my mommy would still want to hug me. I can't speak at all. I can't do a wrong, or else I'm locked up all the day long. When I awake, I'm all alone. The house is dark. My folks are at home. When my mommy does come, I'll try and be nice, so maybe I'll get just one whipping tonight. Don't make a sound. I just heard a car. My daddy's back from Charlie's bar. I hear him curse. My name he calls. I press myself against the wall. I try and hide. From his evil eyes, I'm so afraid now. I'm starting to cry. He finds me weeping. He shouts ugly words. He says it's my fault that he suffers at work. He slaps me and hits me and yells at me more. I finally get free, and I run for the door. He's already locked it, and I start to bawl. He takes me and throws me against the hard wall. I fall to the floor with my bones nearly broken, and my daddy continues with more bad words spoken. I'm sorry, I scream, but it's not much too late. His face has been twisted into an imaginable hate. The hurt and the pain, again and again. Oh, please, God, have mercy. Oh, please let it end. And he finally stops and heads for the door while I lay there motionless, sprawled on the floor. My name is Sarah. I am but three. Tonight my daddy murdered me.
Hey, Pastor Bonnet, now that you've heard that song and that poem, could you give us the common message between the two?
Well, what I hear is the young girl that was abused by her family and killed, but is received by Christ. I think that's the parallel that I see in between the song and the poem. That although she was abused by one family, she received by God, which is a better family.
Well, and you got that 100% correct. Amen.
I'm so glad that Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto him, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And that lets us know that the little ones that may have gone through a rough time while they were still in their innocence, God's grace covers them, and he receives them for himself. So that's a blessing. infant, a child, we know not, outside just the scope of evilness and the evil in their heart of being possessed by the enemy. So we're so grateful to the grace of Jesus Christ, how much he loves us. And so that's comfort to know that all around the world, God is looking out for the little children.
Amen, amen. And we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network want you to be safe. And if you know of a child that's being abused, please get in contact with the appropriate authorities to help them out in their time of desperate, desperate need, because there are those out there who do those wicked things. And now it is time to hear about the great programming found here at the Six Eyes Radio Network and a little station ID. Amen. Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one. Join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show. Get your praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated with Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Tuesday, Evangelist Timothy Gruber takes the mics on the Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. On Thursday, it's the Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that can be felt, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Friday, it's College on the Air. It's the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show. It's where you get Bible College on the Air. No homework. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. And last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays. Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road. And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network. And we're back and want to remind those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one. Join the conversation, especially at the end of our broadcast. Ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. Which of David's friends do you like most? Which of David's friends do you like most? Amen. But now we're going to get back into our study of David, Part 5. And our next scripture context is found in 1 Samuel chapter 20, verses 24 to 29. 1 Samuel chapter 20, verses 24 to 29. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
So David hid himself in the field, and when the new moon was come, the king sat him down to eat meat. And the king sat upon his seat, as at other times, even upon a seat by the wall. And Jonathan arose, and Abner sat by Saul's side, and David's place was empty. Nevertheless, Saul spake not anything that night, for he thought, something hath befallen him. He's not clean, surely he is not clean. It came to pass on the morrow, which was the second day of the month, that David's place was empty, and Saul saw unto Jonathan his son. Wherefore cometh not the son of Jesse to meet, neither yesterday nor today? Jonathan answered Saul, David earnestly asked leave of me to go to Bethlehem. And he said, let me go, I pray thee, for our family hath a sacrifice in the city, and my brother, he hath commanded me to be there. And now, if I have found favor in thine eyes, let me get away, I pray thee, and see my brethren. Therefore, he cometh not unto the king's table.
Okay, and here we find, of course, David being missing. The first night, Saul not saying anything other than the fact, oh, he must not be clean. Not saying a word, though. And the second night, he speaks up and says, where's David? And Jonathan tells him the story that David had given him about him going to sacrifice in Bethlehem. Amen. All right, our next scripture context is found in 1 Samuel chapter 20, verses 30 to 34. 1 Samuel chapter 20, verses 30 to 34. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
Then Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan, and he said unto him, thou son of the perverse, rebellious woman, do not I know that thou hast chosen the son of Jesse to thine own confusion and unto the confusion of thy mother's nakedness? For as long as the son of Jesse liveth upon the ground, thou shalt not be established, not thy kingdom. Wherefore now, send, and fetch him unto me, for he shall surely die. And Jonathan answered Saul his father, and said unto him, wherefore shall he be slain? What hath he done? And Saul cast a javelin at him to smite him, whereby Jonathan knew that it was determined of his father to slay David. So Jonathan rose from the table in fierce anger, and did eat no meat the second day of the month, for he was grieved for David, because his father had done him shame.
All right, now that Saul has heard what Jonathan said, what David said, now we see Saul's reaction. Just as David said, there would be a reaction. And Saul reacted. He says, well, I know you're real good buddies. Now, of course, I'm paraphrasing this. I know you're real good buddies with David. And since you're good buddies with David, you're going to mess up your chance at being king, because it could end up being that David will take over and you won't be king at all. You're my son. You're supposed to end up as the king, Jonathan. But you're choosing David over me. And so he says, bring David here so I can kill him. And Jonathan says, well, what do you do? What did he do that he deserves to die? And Jonathan said, gets up after what Saul attempts on his life. Saul attempts on Jonathan's life because he's chosen to be friends with David, and Saul throws a javelin at him to kill him. He gets out. He leaves in shame because why? Saul has seen that Jonathan would rather be friends with David than betray David. Amen. All right, our next scripture context is found in 1 Samuel chapter 20, verses 35 to 42. 1 Samuel chapter 20, verses 35 42. All right, Ruthie, take us there.
And it came to pass in the morning that Jonathan went out into the field at the time appointed with David and a little lad with him. And he said unto his lad, run, find out now the arrows which I shoot. And as the lad ran, he shot an arrow beyond him. And when the lad was come to the place of the arrow which Jonathan had shot, Jonathan cried after the lad and said, is not the arrow beyond thee? And Jonathan cried after the lad, make speed, haste, stay not. And Jonathan's lad gathered up the arrows and came to his master. But the lad knew not anything, only Jonathan and David knew the matter. And Jonathan gave his artillery unto his lad and said unto him, go, carry them to the city. And as soon as the lad was gone, David arose out of a place toward the south and fell on his face to the ground and bowed himself three times. And they kissed one another, wept one with another until David exceeded. And Jonathan said to David, go in peace, for as much as we have sworn, both of us in the name of the Lord, saying, the Lord be between me and thee, and between thy seed and thy seed forever. And he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city.
And now we find the code being put into play with Jonathan and the young lad coming into the field where David's watching. And he does just what he told David he would do. And he gives the code signal for David to realize that, yes, his father, Jonathan's father, Saul, has something for David's life. And then, of course, Jonathan sends the young lad back to the city while he confronts David and sends him away in peace, saying, we've made an oath between us now. I'm sending you away in peace because it's not me who's after you, but obviously my father. So at least I've done what I told you I would do. Amen. All right, now we're going to do a recap on the second half of our show here. And the scripture is found in 1 Samuel 24 to 42, 1 Samuel chapter 20. Verses 24 to 42. All right, Ruthie, get a good swig of coffee. Take us there.
So David hid himself in the field, and when the new moon was come, the king sat him down to eat meat. And the king sat upon his seat as at other times, even upon a seat by the wall. And Jonathan arose, and Abner by Saul's side, and David's place was empty. Nevertheless, Saul spake not any that day, for he thought something has befallen him. He is not clean. Surely he is not clean. And it came to pass on the morrow, which was the second day of the month, that David's place was empty, and Saul said unto David, Adonijah his son, wherefore cometh not the son of Jesse to meet, neither yesterday nor today? Jonathan answered Saul, David earnestly asked leave for me to go to Bethlehem. And he said, let me go, I pray thee, for our family hath a sacrifice in the city, and my brother, he hath commanded me to be there. And now if I found favor in his eyes, let me get away, I pray thee, and see my brethren. Therefore he cometh not unto the king's table. Then Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan, and he said unto him, thou son of the perverse, rebellious woman, do not I know that thou hast chosen the son of Jesse to thine own confusion and into the confusion of thy mother's nakedness? For as long as the son of Jesse liveth upon the ground, thou shalt not be established, nor thy kingdom. Wherefore now send and fetch them unto me, he shall surely die. And Jonathan answered and saw his father and said unto him, wherefore shall he be slain? What hath he done? And Saul cast a javelin at him to smite him. Wherefore Jonathan knew that it was determined his father to slay David. So Jonathan rose from the table to fierce anger, and he did eat no meat the second day of the month, for he was grieved for David because his father had done him shame. And it came to pass in the morning then Jonathan went out into the field at the time appointed with David and a little lad with him. He said unto his lad, run, find out now the arrows which I shoot. And as the lad ran, he shot an arrow beyond him. And when the lad was come to the place of the arrow which Jonathan had shot, Jonathan cried after the lad and said, is not the arrow beyond thee? And Jonathan cried after the lad, make speed, haste, stay not. And Jonathan's lad gathered up the arrows and came to his master. But the lad knew not anything, except Jonathan and David knew the manner. Jonathan gave him artillery unto his lad and said unto him, go carry them to the city. And as soon as the lad was gone, David arose out of a place toward the south and fell on his face to the ground and tore himself three times. And when they kissed one another and wept one with another until David exceeded. And Jonathan said to David, go to in peace. For as much as we have sworn, both of us, in the name of the Lord, saying, the Lord be between me and thee, and between me, oh, to my seed and thy seed forever. And he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city.
And, of course, here we find David not being there at the king's table. Jonathan telling the story that David said. And, of course, Saul being angry, showing his true colors. Jonathan getting up from the table very upset because he's seen that Saul really was after David's life. And then, of course, him giving the signal to David in the field by using the arrows and the young lad and the code words so that David would know that, yes, indeed, my father has it out for you. Amen. All right, and now we're going to recap the whole show by going back through one last time the whole chapter of 1 Samuel chapter 20, verses 1 through 42, 1 Samuel chapter 20, verses 1 to 42. All right, Ruthie, get a good swig of coffee and take us there.
And David fled from Naoth in Ramah and came and said before Jonathan, what have I done? What is my iniquity? And what is my sin before thy father that he seeketh thy life? He said unto him, God forbid, thou shalt not die. Behold, my father will do nothing, either great or small, but that he will shew it me, and why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so. And David sware moreover and said, thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes, and he saith, let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved, but truly as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death. Then said Jonathan unto David, whatsoever thy soul desireth, I will even do it for thee. And David said to Jonathan, behold, tomorrow is the new moon, and should not fall to sit with the king at meat. But let me go, and I may hide myself in the field unto the third of even. If thy father at all miss me, then say, David earnestly asked leave of me that he might run to Bethlehem, his city, for there is a yearly sacrifice there for all the family. If he say thus, it is well, thy servant shall have peace. But if he be very wroth, then he's sure that evil is determined by him. Therefore thou shalt deal falsely with her servant, for thou hast brought by thy servant into a covenant of the Lord with thee. Notwithstanding, if there be in me iniquity, slay me thyself, for thou shouldest thou bring me to my father. And Jonathan said, far be it from thee that I knew certainly that evil were determined by my father to come upon thee. Then would not I tell it thee? There said David to Jonathan, what shall tell me? For what if the father answer me roughly? And Jonathan said unto David, come and let us go out into the field. And they went out, both of them, into the field. And Jonathan said unto Jonathan, Jonathan said unto David, O Lord God of Israel, when I have sounded my father about tomorrow any time or the third day, and behold, if there be good toward David, and I send not unto thee, and shew it thee, the Lord do so and much more to Jonathan. But if it please my father to do this evil, thou, I will shew it thee and send thee evil. And I will shew thee and send it to a way that thou mayest go in peace, and the Lord be with thee, as he hath been with my father. And thou shalt not only yet live, shew the kindness of the Lord, that I die not. But also thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from my house forever. No, not when the Lord hath cut off the enemies of David, every one from the face of the earth. So Jonathan had made a covenant with the house of David, saying, let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemies. And Jonathan caused David to swear again because he loved him, for he loved him as he loveth his own soul. And Jonathan said to David, tomorrow is the new moon, and thus shall be missed, because thy seat will be empty. And when thou hast stayed 3 days, then shalt thou go quickly, and coming into place where thou didst hide thyself, when the business was in hand, and shall remain by the stone Ezel. And I will shoot the 3 arrows on the side. Behold, there is as though I shot at a mark. And behold, I will send the lad, saying, go and find out the arrows. If I expressly say time unto the lad, behold, the arrows are on the side of them. And, I will send the lad, saying, go, find out the arrows. If I expressly say unto the lad, behold, the arrows are on the side of thee, take them. Then come thou, for there is peace to thee, and no hurt, as the Lord liveth. But if I say thus unto the young man, behold, the arrows are beyond thee, go thy way, for the Lord hath sent thee away. And as touching the matter which thou and I have spoken of, behold, the Lord between thee and me forever. So David hid himself in the field, and when the new moon was come, the king sat him down to eat meat. The king sat upon his seat, as at other times, even behind a seat by the wall, and Jonathan arose, and Abner sat by Saul's side, and David's place was empty. Nevertheless, Saul spake not anything that day, for he thought, sometime hath befallen him. He's not clean, surely he is not clean. And it came to pass on the morrow, which was the second day of the month, that David's place was empty, and Saul said unto Jonathan's son, wherefore cometh not the son of Jesse to meet, neither yesterday nor today? And Jonathan answered Saul, David earnestly asked leave of me to go to Bethlehem. He said, let me go, I pray thee, for our family hath a sacrifice in the city. And my brother, he hath commanded me to be there. And now, if I found favor in thine eyes, let me get away, I pray thee, and see my brethren. Therefore it cometh not unto the king's table. Then Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan, and he said unto him, thou son of this perverse, rebellious woman, do not I know that thou hast chosen the son of Jesse to thine own confusion, and unto the confusion of thy mother's nakedness? For as long as the son of Jesse liveth upon the ground, thou shalt not be established, nor thy kingdom. Wherefore now send and fetch him unto me, for he shall surely die. And Jonathan answered Saul his father, and said unto him, wherefore shall he be slain? What hath he done? And Saul cast a javelin at him to smite him, whereby Jonathan knew that it was determined of his father to slay David. So Jonathan arose from the table in fierce anger, and did eat no meat the second day of the month, for he was grieved for David, because his father had done him shame. It came to pass in the morning that Jonathan went out into the field of the time appointed with David, and a little lad with him. He said unto his lad, run, find out now the arrows which I shoot. And as the lads ran, he shot an arrow beyond him. And when the lad was come to this place of the arrow which Jonathan had shot, Jonathan cried after the lad and said, is not the arrow beyond thee? And Jonathan cried after the lad, make good, haste, and stay not. And Jonathan, lad, gathered up the arrows and came to his master. But the lad knew not anything, only Jonathan and David knew the matter. And Jonathan gave his artillery unto his lad and said unto him, go, carry them to the city. And as soon as the lad was gone, David arose out of a place toward the south and fell on his face to the ground and bowed himself three times, and they kissed one another and wept one with another until David exceeded. And Jonathan said to David, go in peace, for as much as we are shorn, both of us, in the name of the Lord, saying, the Lord be between me and thee, and between my seed and thy seed forever. And he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city.
So, basically, throughout this whole chapter, we find the importance of friendship and keeping your word to your friends, even if it means denying your own parents and keeping your word to a friend. Amen. But right now, I want to remind those who called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617. You'd be able to press the number one, join the conversation, especially at the end of the broadcast, ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. Which of David's friends do you like most? Which of David's friends do you like most? Amen. But now we're going to pause for a little station ID and a few other remarks, and we'll be back with you shortly. Amen.
This is Lynn Tolliver. You're listening to the Six Eyes Radio Network.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm just ready to say heck with life and ready to feel like I'm feeling like I'd be better off 6 foot under.
You don't want to do that, Em. I don't know much about this.
Well, that's just how I'm feeling.
Well, if that's how you're feeling, you may call a friend. But remember, they're not professionals, and they may not know how to help you. It's better if you call the National Suicide Prevention Line at 1-800-273-8255. Again, that number is 1-800-273-8255. And this message has been brought to you by Six Eyes Radio Network. Is U-Haul open?
We got to get this stuff moved. I heard about a great hauling service called Blind Truck in the Vastabula.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. They must have been around for a while. I hear they haul light furniture, groceries. I even heard they hauled pets at one time.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, so I'm going to give them a call. The number is 440-789-9411. And they do have a PayPal. I hear they don't charge a thing, but they do accept donations, so we got to help keep them on the road. Their PayPal is the number 2-F-O-R, the number 1, Katie, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com.
Okay.
Yes. So we got to get this stuff moved, so come on now. That's Blind Trucking. All right.
Let's do it.
That's Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Blind Trucking of Ashtabula Hauling Service, 440-789-9411. All right, come on now.
All right.
Hey, David. I will be there shortly. Hope you are there. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait. Now he'll never make dinner, never again, and several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
This commercial is also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula, Ohio. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen. But now it's time for Ruth and her Bible prophecy. Amen.
In the Holy Bible, it tells of a day when the beast shall walk among us, and many shall fall away. Famine, war, and desolation, they shall rise in against nation, trouble everywhere you turn. As in the time of Noah, in the days before the flood, sin will cool the love of men, and the streets will run with blood. Rape and murder, grief and sorrow, just like Sodom and Gomorrah, this world is gonna burn. I believe that we are living in today's John wrote about. The end times are upon us, and of that there is no doubt. Get your mind out of the world and take your Bible off the shelf. Read the book of Revelation.
Tribulation.
I don't want to be here.
Tribulation.
When that flame is dark comes down.
Tribulation.
When the seven seals are broken.
And the seven vials are open.
And the seven trumpets sound. Lightning streaks from east to west across the sky. God's faithful ones will disappear in the twinkling of an eye. Many are called, but few are chosen. Brother, don't let your heart be frozen. Don't you want to go? This world will be in bondage under Satan's evil power. The Antichrist will rule until that fire will blow you out. When pain and sorrow disappear, and God will wipe away all tears, joy forevermore. I believe that we are living in the days John wrote about. The end times are upon us, and of that there is no doubt. Get your mind out of the world, take your Bible off the shelf. Read the book of Revelation for yourself.
Tribulation.
I don't want to be here.
Tribulation.
When that flame is dark comes down.
Tribulation.
When the seven seals are broken.
And the seven vials are open.
And the seven trumpets sound.
Miracle of the Ages. It's a very popular teaching known as British Israelism.
which endeavors to prove that the United States of America and the British Commonwealth are made up of the 10 lost tribes of Israel. Those who support this theory teach that Israel left Palestine while the so-called Jews remained behind. The movements of the Israel clans are traced out of the east, across Europe, to their new settlement in the British Isles, and then later to America. This particular teaching is popular on certain radio broadcasts, and many unsuspecting listeners were falling into this error, swallowing this false theory, hook, line, and sinker. There are several stumbling blocks in this teaching, and I would like to point out a few of them. According to 2 Chronicles 11, in 975 B.C., the 10 tribes separated from the other two, namely Judah and Benjamin, but a remnant of the 10 tribes fell away to Judah and Benjamin and were then known as Israel in Judah and Benjamin. This is confirmed in 2 Chronicles 11:3 and 16-17. We have scripture to tell us that in 906 B.C., there were 7,000 Israelitish people in Israel who had not bowed the knee to Baal. Yet, I have left these 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. 1 Kings 19:18. Then, in 721 B.C., we notice that Israel was removed out of God's sight. It was only the tribe of Judah remaining, and the tribe of Judah absorbing the tribe of Benjamin and the remnant of the 10 tribes. This is found in 2 Kings chapter 17, which I mean to read the whole chapter. Therefore, the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them out of his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah only. 2 Kings 17:18. Then, in 760 B.C., Isaiah 1:9 tells us that only a very small remnant was left. In 600 B.C., we find Judah, including Benjamin, and the remnant of the 10 tribes which fell away in the days of Rehoboam, being taken into captivity in Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar. This is found in 2 Kings 25. Of course, if you read the whole chapter again. Approximately 65 years later, in 536 B.C., according to Ezra, we have a record of the return of Judah with Benjamin and the remnant of the 10 tribes which had been carried away into Babylon. Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar being returned unto Jerusalem for a census of all the 12 tribes. That is a remnant of the 12 tribes returned to Jerusalem. And you can read that in Ezra chapter 2. Read the whole thing. Approximately 40 years later, in 496 B.C., Ezekiel, who was carried away in the Babylonian captivity with Daniel, and the three Hebrew children of the fiery furnace, prophesied about a future mark being set upon the foreheads of all the Israelites who are concerned for all the abominations to be done in the midst of Jerusalem. Please note, this prophecy was made while the remnant of Israel, together with Benjamin and Judah, were in captivity in Babylon. Then we note, in the year 60 A.D., the Apostle Paul tells us that God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew, that he is an Israelitish himself of the seed of Abraham, tribe of Benjamin, and that there was at that time in Paul's day a remnant according to the election of grace. This is Romans 11, verses 1 through 5 in the King James Version. About 36 years later, in 96 A.D., the Apostle John prophesied about the people who were going to be marked on the forehead in the days to come. They're the very same people about whom Ezekiel prophesied almost 600 years before the first coming of Christ. Then John gives us the number of the Israelites, or children of Israel from each tribe, who are to be marked on the forehead. That is, there are going to be 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes, making a total of 144,000. You can read that in Revelation 7, verses 3 through 8. Please note that these children of Israel who are to be marked will be in Judea. We see that the tribe of Judah is to be in Jerusalem, and as the Antichrist makes the holy place desolate, this tribe will flee into the mountains. We find this in Matthew 24, verses 15 to 16. These mountains are in the wilderness, and are in a specially prepared place where the 144,000 will be fed and cared for by God for 3.5 years or 42 months. Read Revelation 12, 6 and 14 regarding the situation. We know, of course, that Christ, the man-child, came from the 12 tribes of Israel. It's the woman Israel who is spoken of as fleeing into the desert, into the mountains, in the wilderness, and the 12 tribes are now back together as one and is spoken of as the woman Israel. This fulfills the prophecy of Ezekiel 37:19. Israel will remain in the city, in the wilderness, which is a mountainous city known to Bible students as Petra. Edom or Seir, you could also think of as three names. Located approximately 175 miles south of the city of Jerusalem, when Jesus Christ comes at the Battle of Armageddon, he will go forth out of Jerusalem down into the wilderness to the mountainous city of Petra. He will plead with a woman, Israel, who constitutes a remnant of the entire 12 tribes. Ezekiel 20, verses 33 to 36. Thus, we see a clear teaching in God's word, step by step, down through the centuries of the Israelites who were separated in the days of Rehoboam and Jeroboam, the 10 tribes being driven away into Assyria after a remnant of them had fallen away to Judah and Benjamin, all of whom were absorbed by Judah and went into the Babylonian captivity. They came out with a record being made of the 12 tribes by Ezra and Nehemiah and the Apostle Paul, telling us in Romans 11:5 that a remnant was kept in his day according to the election of grace. We see that this remnant, consisting of the 12 tribes, is to be increased, 244,000 during the tribulation period, at which time they will be marked on the forehead and placed in a prepared place in the desert, in the mountains of the wilderness, to await the coming of Jesus Christ, who will incorporate them again into one kingdom and will become their king. In the light of what we have just studied, how can anyone say God has cast away his people? The Israelites in the United States and the British Empire are true Israel. To say England and the United States are Israel is to deny the people living in those two countries the privilege of going to the rapture, because Israel will not go in the rapture, but will remain on the earth to go through the tribulation period. And the reason that is because they did not accept Jesus as Lord, so they're going to go through the tribulation period. It's sad that they didn't accept him. For 2,500 years, a remnant of the Jews had circulated throughout the nations of the earth, but on December 9, 1917, they took possession of their land for a national homeland. Then on May 14, 1948, when Israel became, a nation once again, and was recognized as such during among the nations of the world. Verses of scripture in the Old Testament, written 700 years before the first coming of Jesus Christ, was literally fulfilled. Multiplied thousands of Christians the world over rejoiced. Yeah, praise the Lord. Then, who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall a nation be born at once? Isaiah 66:8. In the state of Israel today, there are people who should not be in existence, physically speaking, simply because God brought out of the loins of Abraham, when he was 100 years old, the child Isaac, born of the free woman Sarah, who was 90 years old, from him had come the legal possessors of the original promised land, and they are truly the miracle of the ages. The great sign for the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ was the virgin birth. In scripture, there was given 196 signs pointing to the first coming of the Savior. The one outstanding sign that could not be argued away in any decade was the virgin birth. Yes, praise the Lord. This pivotal prophecy was something for the people before Christ's first coming to hang their hats on, so to speak. God has given us 257 signs for the second coming of Jesus Christ. The one great outstanding sign that has stood the test of time, the return of the Jew to his homeland. Some might ask the question, have the Jews gone back according to the age-old prophecies written in Scripture? My reply to that question would be yes and no. What we are now witnessing in the state of Israel relative to the return of the Jew to his homeland is an effort being promoted, more or less, by the Jews themselves. In other words, determined men and women have gone over to Palestine and by sheer human strength and physical ingenuity have begun to make the desolate land a fertile habitation. Naturally, the conditions which seem to be blessings are merely being brought about by human beings who are willing to work. The present return of 3 million Jews to their homeland is really the ingenuity and planning, together with hard work, of a progressive people. When the true biblical and prophetical return of the Jew is to Palestine takes place, which will be at the second stage of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, they are to be gathered by Christ, who will send out men to hunt for them and fish for them all over the world. Here's what the Apostle Paul has to say about that situation at the revelation of Christ. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Sion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob, which is Israel. Romans 11:26. The scripture which tells us that the Jews are going to be hunted and fished for among the nations of the earth after Armageddon, return to Jerusalem, is found in the book of Jeremiah. And here's the scripture. Behold, I will send for many fishers, saith the Lord, and they shall fish them, the Jews. And after will I send for many hunters, and they shall hunt them from every mountain and from every hill and out of the holes of the rocks. Jeremiah 16:16. Sounds like they got the police getting them. They almost like that. I'm just making fun, but, you know, they just have to go get them. Get them criminals. Every Jew, regardless of where he may be in any nation in the world, will eventually be brought back to Jerusalem. Even if he's in a foreign country and sick, afflicted, or diseased, it'll make no difference, because he will be put on a stretcher, in an ambulance, or an airplane, and taken back to Jerusalem. And they shall bring all your brethren, the Jews, for an offering unto the Lord out of all nations upon horses, and in chariots and in litters, or stretchers, and upon mules, and upon swift beasts, to my holy mountain Jerusalem, saith the Lord, as the children of Israel bring an offering in a clear vessel into the house of the Lord. That's Isaiah 66:20. This is not taking place in a complete, literal manner at the present time. Although I am informed from the state of Israel that a remnant of Jews has returned to the state of Israel from more than 100 different nations of the earth, the present return by the Israelites to the state of Israel is not the actual prophesied return about which we read in the Old Testament. But what we're now seeing is merely a determined people resolved in their hearts that the age-old promised land given to their father Abraham shall become a literal Garden of Eden. What are we observing in the state of Israel at the present time relative to the agricultural picture is contained in the following verse from God's Word. The land that is brought back from the sword and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have taken and been always waste, but it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. Ezekiel 38:8. When Jesus Christ comes in his glory at the Battle of Armageddon, the Jews will then be completely restored to their land, the promised land, given to their forefather Abraham. At the present time, they're being gathered from many of the nations of the earth by the efforts put forth by various organizations which are gathering money, selling bonds, and endeavoring to finance the entire operation. Going back as they are now are, they are fulfilling many Bible prophecies. God knew this, and he wanted us to know if there would be two returns of the Jews to their homeland, as he had the prophecies concerning this potential partial return placed in the Bible also. First, as they are to go back in unbelief, they are to return still refusing to acknowledge Jesus Christ as their king when they return the second time under the personal direction of Christ. At the close of the Battle of Armageddon, then, as the Bible says, they will weep and mourn as a woman bereft of her children when they see him whom they pierced. Zechariah 12:10. When Christ deals with them after the Battle of Armageddon, they will have a new understanding of how, of him, and will accept him as their Messiah. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Ezekiel 36:25-27. One of the great prophecies of the Old Testament, which has proven a real inspiration to me, is the manner in which the harbor of Haffa was located. In the book of Genesis, just before Jacob died, he called his sons around his bedside and told each one of them what the towards to befall them in the latter days. To his son Zebulun he said, Zebulun shall dwell at the haven of the sea, and he shall be for a haven of ships. Genesis 49:13 in the King James Version. From an old newspaper article published in 1938 in the Religious Telescope in Jerusalem, we learn that Haifa's original harbor has been rebuilt at a cost of $50 million. Whew! A new stretch of loading dock, two-thirds of a mile long, is being added so that 8 instead of 4 ships can moor along shore. This particular article, which, of course, these which have visited the state of Israel recently realize that much has been done in the way of enlarging and increasing the facilities of the shipping industry. Today, Haifa is a modern harbor, the chief part of Israel. Be something like to look at someday if you ever had money to get there. When Jacob told Zebulun what was going to befall him in the latter days, he said he would be a haven for ships. In other words, in the land which was given to Zebulun, there would be a tremendous harbor built. This prophecy was made by Jacob 3,600 years before that harbor of Haifa was located. Great difficulty was experienced in trying to locate a suitable place for a harbor. Engineers worked for nearly 2 years going up and down the coast of Palestine trying to locate the best possible site for a harbor which could accommodate ocean-going vessels. It was at last decided that the best location would be in a natural harbor lying at the foot of Mount Carmel, the land that was formerly occupied by the tribe of Zebulun. Previous to the time the harbor of Haifa was located there, absolutely no shipping of any kind was done there. Nevertheless, 3,600 years after the prophecy of Jacob, in the land formerly occupied by Zebulun is the harbor of Haifa, a great shipping port which handles multiplied millions of tons of the products manufactured in the state of Israel and exported to the nations of the world. Through his inspired prophetic telescope, Jacob was able to see that after 3,600 years of time had rolled by, Zebulun shall be for a haven of ships, Genesis 49:13. This can't help enlarging on the fact over and over again of what a great God we have. Praise the Lord. He's a God who can inspire men to prophesy and tell exactly what will come to pass thousands of years later. That is the God whom we serve. He is the God whom we should endeavor to glorify daily. The miracle of the ages should encourage every one of us to endeavor to glorify God in our daily lives. Amen. One thing concerning the Jewish people, which is not completely understood, is the fact of their holy rock. The Jews chose August 4th to be observed as a day of mourning. The reason for this is that on August 4th, 537 B.C., Solomon's temple was destroyed. On August 4th in the year 70 A.D., the temple in Jerusalem was again destroyed, this time by Titus, the Roman general. The Jews were then scattered out over the world in the Great Dispersion, which lasted until December 9, 1917. Many hundreds of years later, when the Mohammedans captured Jerusalem, they built a wall around the temple area. And this has been known as the Wailing Wall. For generations, Jews have been made pilgrims to the Wailing Wall in memory of the destruction of the temple. Legend has it that in the dead of night, a white dove, the divine presence, appears and coos sadly with the mourners as they weep. Legend also has it that in times past, the stones of the wall have been covered with drops of dew, the tears the wall has shed while weeping for Israel. This rock was originally the threshing floor of a farmer by the name of Araunah, and he was purchased by David for the purpose of offering a sacrifice to God to stay a three-day plague, which God had visited upon him and the Israelites in punishment for a sin that it committed against God. David gave Araunah 50 shekels of silver for the rock, his threshing floor. Sometime later, David bought the whole farm and consecrated the ground on which his son Solomon later built the temple at an estimated cost of $6 million. The temple was built in such a manner that the threshing floor of the holy rock was situated in the center of the temple. All sacrifices were offered on this rock, but the temple was destroyed, and it has been rebuilt on 7 different occasions. It was destroyed the last time by the Mohammedans, who then erected their mosque over the holy rock, and in this particular building, the holy rock is also the center of their mosque. Of course, the Jews desire to have this rock returned to them, because upon it they offered all their sacrifices to God. Without this rock in their possession, they cannot offer any blood sacrifices to God. The reason for this is that Jerusalem is in the center of the nations. Next scripture. Thus saith the Lord God, this is Jerusalem. I have set in the midst of the nations and countries that are round about her. Ezekiel 5 and verse 5. The very dead center of the earth is this rock itself. Purpose of its location and the reasons why God had the Jews offer sacrifices upon this particular rock is because the earth is the Lord's and he wanted the Jews to offer sacrifices to him from the center of his possession, the earth. Before the Jews were forbidden to go into the old city of Jerusalem, they would gather at the Wailing Wall and implore God to return their holy rock unto them in order that they might conduct their sacrificial worship services. This particular rock, which will play a tremendous part in the future religious life of the state of Israel, in Daniel we are told that the Antichrist is going to guarantee the Jews 7 years of peace during the tribulation period. It's over this rock that their new temple will eventually be erected. It's in this new temple built over the original rock, which David bought from a farmer, that the Antichrist, during the middle of the seven-year tribulation period, will break his peace treaty with the Jews and tell them to stop their worship and cease all their sacrifices. He'll tell them, there's no need for you to worship a god somewhere off in the either, because I am God. Scripture, who opposes and exalted himself of all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's 2 Thessalonians 2, 4 in the King James Version. The return of the Jew to his national homeland is in the miracle of the ages and the great outstanding sign for the second coming of Jesus Christ. The Jew is to be guaranteed a time of peace by the Antichrist at the beginning of the tribulation period. There's a scripture, and he, Antichrist, shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, 7 days, in the midst or middle of the week. He shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate or void. Daniel 9:27. Halfway through the seven-year peace treaty, during which time the Jews will have rebuilt the temple in Jerusalem over the rock that David originally bought from a farmer for 50 shekels of silver, the Antichrist will go into the rebuilt Jewish temple and proclaim himself God. Now here's scripture. When ye therefore shall see that the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, then let them which are be in Judea flee into the mountains. Matthew 24, 15, and 16. That's the KJV. And, of course, again, Petra, Edom, and Seir are all the same thing. They just call them different names there. It's also confirmed by the Apostle Paul's scripture, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitting in the temple of God, shewing himself that he is God. 2 Thessalonians 2, 4 in the King James Version. When the Antichrist, known as the Abomination of Desolation, stands in the Holy Jewish Temple in Jerusalem and proclaims himself God, he's going to unleash his satanic fury upon the Israelites in the state of Israel. They're going to flee into the mountains or to a rock city which God has had prepared for them. There was the scripture, and the woman Israel fled into the wilderness where she has a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Again, that's Petra, Edom, and Seir. It's all the same place. And to the woman Israel were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time in the face of the serpent. Revelation 12, 6, and 14 in the King James Version. This city is into which the Jewish remnant will flee during the tribulation period. It's located in the center of precipitous rocks in the mountains, in the wilderness, in a desert. 175 miles south of Jerusalem, is known as the Rose Red City, half as old as time. Its name is Petra, meaning a rock. When the Israelites flee to the city of Petra, which is in the midst of the great mountain range, they are to be assisted by God in their flight, because the scripture says two wings of a great eagle were given to the woman Israel that she might fly to her place. We know that the city is spoken of as her place, meaning it's a place designated by God in which to preserve the Jewish remnant the day of Antichrist's presentation. During the 3.5 years, or 42 months, when the Jewish remnant will live in this city, they must have water. It's a most remarkable thing that the water which flows through the narrow gorge, which is at the entrance into the city of Petra, comes from the rock struck by Moses during the wilderness wanderings of the children of Israel when God provided water for them. It's right here at this rock where the Jews disbelieved God with regard to the promised land, turning their backs upon it, and they were punished by being made to wander 40 years in the desert. After 3,500 years of a remnant of the Israelites, preserved and kept by God, down through the ages, though scattered among the nations, yet not absorbed by them, and still keeping their identity, is to be brought back to where the people turned their backs on God. Isn't it remarkable that they will again drink from the very same fountain of waters for which their forefathers drank nearly 3,500 years previously? What a great God we have. We learned from the prophet Isaiah that God is going to take them into this rock city and shut the doors behind them and care for them. And there's a scripture, come thy people, Israelites, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, 3.5 years, the last half of the tribulation period, until the indignation tribulation period be overpassed. Behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. Isaiah 26 and verse 20 and 21. The punishment referred to here is the Battle of Armageddon, which will be fought 3.5 years, or 1,260 days. After the Antichrist breaks his covenant with the Israelites, Armageddon will conclude the 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation period, Matthew 24:21. The end of the 1,260 days of living in the city of Petra, with everything supplied by God in a miraculous manner, the Lord Jesus Christ will come into the city and meet the Jewish remnant, the 144,000, and any others who may have fled with them before the Antichrist's wrath. This is where Christ will plead with them face to face and open up to them the scriptures. My God will bring you out from the people, will gather you out of the countries wherein ye are scattered, and I will bring you into the wilderness of the top or the people, the mountainous Petra, and there will I plead with you face to face. Like as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so I plead with you, says the Lord God. Isaiah 20, verses 34 to 36 in the King James Version. And the Bible says, when they have their spiritual eyes opened, and they see him whom they perish, they will weep and wail over the rest of her only child. The Bible tells us that the Antichrist is going to appear on the world scene, and in Daniel 11:41, we're told that the land of Edom and Moab, where Petra is located, will escape out of his hand. A remnant of the Israelites is back to the Jews' original homeland, and all of this fulfills age-old Bible prophecies. We're living in the day and age when the miracle of the ages is positive proof that the second coming of Christ draws near. Praise God. God originally made a covenant with Abraham and promised him the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession. Abraham died, and his son Isaac received the same promise from God. But on Isaac's death, his son Jacob was also given the same promise that as long as he remained in the promised land and did according to God's desires, he would lack nothing. Jacob had 12 sons, became the father of Israel, and before Jacob died, he leaned heavily upon his staff, called his 12 sons around him, and told them what would befall them in the last days. Jacob said to his fourth son, Judah, the scepter rulership will not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him, Shiloh, Jesus Christ, shall the gathering of the people be. Genesis 49:10. Thus we have a miraculous and chosen people brought into being who, according to the physical laws, because Abraham was 100 years old and his wife Sarah was 90 years old, should never have been in existence. That is, there should not be a remnant of the Jewish people on the earth today, physically speaking, but God in his great mercy, wisdom, and divine understanding originally gave to Abraham an unbreakable promise. The land of Canaan would remain in everlasting possession for the Jews down through the centuries. Isn't it marvelous when you observe the wanderings of the Jews for thousands of years and you consider the state of Israel today, that you see a remnant of the 12 tribes gathered back in the land which was given to their forefather, Abraham? What a great mathematical and exacting God we have. God told Noah to build an ark and said, yet 120 years and I will destroy the earth with a flood. When the 120 years had passed, the flood came. God said, I will cause it to rain for 40 days and 40 nights. When the 40 days and nights were passed, the rain stopped. God told the Israelites that he would drive them out into the desert for 40 years. When the 40 years were up, The Israelites were restored and placed in the land of Canaan under Joshua. God told the Jews they would be in captivity in Babylon for 70 years. When the 70 years were up, out they came. God told them that they would go down into Egypt for 430 years. Time was up. Right on the very day, out they came. God told the Jews that in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, they would be taking 49 years to build Jerusalem in troublesome times. That's exactly how long it took. Not 50, not 48, but 49 years. God told them that 434 years after the building of the city of Jerusalem by Ezra and Nehemiah, Jesus Christ would come riding into a city on a colt, a donkey, and be crucified. He did exactly as prophesied by God. And that's the way the Lord is. He never lies. He always tells the truth. Praise God. Through Daniel, God told the Jews in the Babylonian captivity at the end of 25-20 years, they would be restored to their land. They were, look at the Jews during the 25-20 years. They were without a country. They had no king, no law, no army, no flag, and they were scattered among the nations. They were hounded, persecuted, despised, reviled, and killed. But where are they today? They're exactly where God said they would be. God said they would start going back to their land on December 9, 1917. They were scattered among the nations of the earth from 603 BC until 1917 AD, making a total of 2,520 years. And yet on the 24th day of the month of the Jewish calendar, which was December 9th on ours, the Julian calendar, they started going back to their land exactly as God had said the prophets of old record in his blessed book, the Bible. What are the great countries, or where are the great countries which persecuted the Jews? Where is their great Babylonian Empire? You can't find it. Where is the Phoenician Empire? It's gone. Where is the Alexandrian Empire? It's gone. There's no trace of it. Where is the great Egyptian Empire has so unmercifully persecuted the Jews? She's a small Mideast country trying to get along with Israel, heavily in debt to Russia. Where is the great Grecian Empire, which persecuted the Jews? It's another low-state, small country in the Middle East. Where is the great Roman Empire? It's another low-rate country battling communism. Where are the Philistines, the Jebusites, and the Hittites? You can't find a trace of them. But where is the Jew? He's right back in his land, going back on the very day God said he would. Do you know what this study on this subject has done for me? It's made me willing to place my life in the hands of the omnipotent God and give him at least a fair opportunity to use me for his honor and his glory. It's given me greater confidence in my God, so much so that without any hesitation on my part, I'm glad to place my little 70 years into the hands of God, saying, God, take me on my little old puny life and use me for your honor and your glory. What about you? Please remember, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ draweth nigh. There are 257 signs written in the Old and New Testaments relative to the second coming, and the return of the Jew in the state of Israel is a major key and focal point of all Bible prophecy relative to Christ's second coming. May I urge you to make sure you are not outside the kingdom of God. To be outside means you're lost. You're undone, and nothing but an eternity of suffering is in front of you. Jesus Christ came to this earth, born of a virgin woman, lived a life without sin upon this earth, carried the old rugged cross up on the hills of Asia Minor, and there willingly gave his life on the tree for lost mankind. If you go through this physical life attending a church, reading religious books, and occasionally picking up your Bible, but you do not accept the Savior, then, my friend, you're missed everything. I don't care what part of town you live in or how much your home costs or what kind of an automobile you drive or anything about your financial status in this life. If you're not a Christian, and by that I mean a born-again child of God, the Spirit of God dwelling in you, then you've missed everything worthwhile in this life. I'm asking you with all the sincerity my human heart can muster to give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ today, accept him as your Savior, and be waiting and watching for him to come in the clouds of glory and take you unto himself. The next lesson is Israel's hiding place.
And we thank you, Ruth, for that great information about the miracle of the ages. Amen. But right now, we're going to pause for a little station ID and hear about the great programming found only here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one. Join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show. Get your praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated with Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Tuesday, Evangelist Timothy Gruber takes the mics on the Word of the King on 6 on his radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang. Great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. On Thursday, it's the Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that can be felt, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. On Friday, it's College on the Air. It's the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang show. It's where you get Bible College on the Air with no homework, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. And last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays.
7 days a week, but what you really want, the Six Eyes Radio Network.
Hallelujah, we're back, and I want to remind those who called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation, ask your questions, give your comments, or even answer our question of the day. Which of David's friends do you like most? Which of David's friends do you like most? It's that time. It's open mic time. All right, and Sister Emily, who do we got with us this afternoon?
Well, it's normal, the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and angels, all the smirk chasers, and the smirk chasers, what do you get?
All right. Okay, we're going to start with you, Sister Emily. Which of David's friends do you like most?
The one that stood up for him when he went against Goliath.
Okay. Technically, it didn't show his friend then, but after that, actually, he came and showed himself later, which was in this chapter, and the chapter just before, it was Jonathan. He was the one that brought it to Saul's attention, because that was Saul's son, and he says, hey, don't you remember what David did when he fought Goliath? Yeah, so that would be Jonathan. All right, and did you have any questions over the material we brought tonight?
Nope.
All right, now Ruthie, your turn.
I like Jonathan because he was always sticking by him.
Well, it looks like it's going to be unanimous tonight. I'd say Jonathan myself because Jonathan, as in tonight's text, he was willing to stand up against his own father and said, look, hey, what did David do? Why are you after David? And he was willing to stand up even against his own father and keep his friendship with David. So, and despite, no matter what his father said, he stuck by David. So, and that's a true friend. When your parents say, well, don't be friends with so-and-so, but yet you say, nope, I'm going to be friends with this person anyway because you're a true friend. So that's being a true friend, is sticking with somebody thick and thin. So Jonathan was that kind of friend. All right. So, well, it's up to you, Emily, if you want to do the closing prayer, or we could let Sister Ruth.
Kenny, do you want me to open up the smoke chaser's cat's mic since he's got the hand?
Well, put his mic on it since he's got the hand up. Yeah, let's see what he's got to say.
Not top the smirk chaser's cat.
Okay.
And, hey, smirk chaser's cat, I'm opening your mic.
Oh, Lord. Hello, Missionary Wolfgang.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Okay, I know you caught some of the broadcast tonight. Did you have any questions on what we presented?
No.
Okay, and the question of the day, of all of David's friends, who would you pick as your friend? Which one would you pick most as your friend of David's friends?
It would be the one that stuck up for him.
Jonathan, okay.
Yes.
Okay, so it's been unanimous tonight. Everybody picks Jonathan, all right. Seems like we got a unanimous vote tonight. Everybody seems to pick Jonathan for the same reason. And we can learn a lesson from that. When you're a true friend, you'll stick up for your friend, even if it means telling Daddy and Mommy, hey, go fly a coop. I'm sticking up for my friend.
Hey, Sister Lila.
Yes, Sister Emily.
Did you like how I said who was on the broadcast tonight?
I was kind of like, who is she talking about? You've been a wise butt on the show, Em.
Uh-huh.
Technically, I thought for a minute there she was picking on Six.
Uh-oh. No, I wasn't picking on Six this time. When I was talking about the Smurf Chaser and the Smurf Chaser's cat, I was picking on Dad and Lila at the same time.
Oh, so you're saying Lila is Azri out.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I remember that one, Sister Edwin, when I called you tonight.
Hey, should we tell Lila the letter was about the ultimate cat wash?
Oh dear.
After the show, Brother Ken.
It might be a little weird for the listeners.
So I'll have to call you sometime, Lila, or you when you call me, remind me to tell you about the ultimate cat wash.
Okay, and Missionary Wolfgang, while I'm on the air, can I please tell you some good news that I found out today?
Well, good news.
The people here. I spoke to this guy named David, okay? He said he's going to put out some referrals for me to go to one of the facilities at Ashtabula Township. So please keep that as a prayer and make sure that it could go on the air, please.
Well, you're live right now, so everybody's heard that, but just basically keep just your referral situation under prayer. That you don't have to give all the details. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So with that, Sister Emily, like I said, did you want to close in prayer, or should we twist Ruthie's arm?
I
can do it.
Let's do it this way.
Sorry.
Twist Ruthie's arm because mine doesn't feel so kosher.
Oh, dear.
Oh, I shouldn't still twist your arm?
No.
And then it's double for me. Twist Ruthie's arm.
Be nice.
Okay. Okay.
Hey, in other words, Sister Lila, we get to pick on Sister Ruth tonight, huh?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Well, give Ruthie the phone and let her give us a closing prayer, and then we'll end out here tonight.
Hang on a sec. Here's Sister Ruth.
Hi, dear Lord, in the name of Jesus, be with us as we part our ways, but not your presence, and we always have you. And glad you're there, and just want to praise and bless your name, and thank you for what you've been doing in my life, and you know what it is. I'll tell everybody else what it is later, and we love you so much, Lord. Amen.
All right, and just as a reminder once again, that for those of you who wish to get this broadcast, let's say on a Tuesday, and wish to have the talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang any day of the week, you can go to the, especially those of you who have a nice little smartphone, you can make it even smarter by getting the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang and all of the Six Eyes broadcast right there on your smartphone by going to the podcast section of your phone, and you type in Six Eyes Radio. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S space radio, R-A-D-I-O. And then once you've got that in there, it should pop up there for you. And then once it's there, you click on subscribe. Click on subscribe. And then you'll have the Talk with Missionary Wolfgang on a Monday if you like. And you'll have the Motivational Monday on a Saturday. Isn't that beautiful? You can have any of the programs, any of the days of the week that you want. You could be at 4 a.m. in your jammies. I don't know why you drink a cup of coffee that late in the morning, but hey, if that's your choice and that's the time of day you're up because you happen to have to work while you're at work, you can have Six Eyes in the middle of the night while the rest of us are sawing wood to beat the band and sounding like McCullough chainsaws. You could still have Six Eyes when you need it while you're at the workshop in the middle of the night on the midnight shift and enjoying Six Eyes right while you work. So don't forget to do that. But now we're going to close here with the Red Sylvine song that we have for you tonight and say we'll catch you come tomorrow for the open programming. And then, of course, Sunday, 1 p.m., the Sunday Gospel Show. Don't forget the Monday show, Monday Motivational at 9 p.m., Tuesday, the Word of the King, 8 p.m., Wednesday, 7 p.m., with the Wednesday Gospel Bible Study and the Gospel Bus. Thursday, we have Jumbo Braille Program, and we have a special guest. You'll want to check that out. And then, of course, we're back again next Friday, once again, at 9 p.m. for the Talk with Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang Show. So here we go. God bless, and enjoy the Red Sylvine song as we get out of here tonight.
I recall the night that you came into this world. I couldn't believe the doctor when he said it's a little girl. Oh, I said, now, doc, you must be wrong. You see, I want a boy. Then he laid you in my arms, and my heart sang with joy. I know the time has come that I must set you free. But no matter where you are, you know what you are to me.